Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are here. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
Yeah, so the other day, in a rare moment, I see Doug was liking something I did on Facebook. And for me, the weekends, I'm up hours before the sun comes up. But it was like 6 a.m. and I'm like, what is he doing up that early? Then I realized he's fishing. So that's why Doug Oster is up early. But he's not with us today. So hopefully he's enjoying himself wherever he has dropped a line to enjoy some great fishing in the great outdoors. Jessica Walliser is here back in Pittsburgh. Busy weekend for her. Little sleep, but she's raring to go because it's St. Patrick's Day. And we're going to talk about the strong connection to this holiday when it comes to gardening. We're going to begin by talking to her about that in just a moment. But right now, let me invite the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. And that person wins a $25 gift certificate from Sorgles in Wexford. So happy St. Patrick's Day, Jessica.
Well, thank you very much. This is horticulturist Jessica Walliser. And yes, happy St. Patty's Day to everybody out there. This is a traditional planting day for many people here in Pittsburgh and other parts of the region. It was funny, I was up in Michigan yesterday for a gardening conference out there to speak, and somebody in the audience had made a little joke about where they used to live. They would plant peas on St. Patrick's Day, which is also Doug's practice, right? A lot of people like to plant their peas on St. Patrick's Day. And they laughed that ever since they moved to Michigan, now they can't plant their peas until April Fool's Day because it's a little bit colder up there. And so they have to wait a few more weeks than we do here in Pittsburgh. But yeah, so if you feel inclined to go out today, you can plant your peas, but I wouldn't put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak, because it's still pretty wet out there, still pretty chilly out there. So do be aware that today is your pea planting day, you might have to replant them again in a couple of weeks, because when it's this wet, this cold, sometimes those seeds will rot in the ground before they have the chance to germinate. But if you like to take a chance on them, you can go ahead and plant them outside and give it a try. You could also sort of, you know, stick with the tradition, but hedge your bets by sowing them in peat pots inside. So you can buy these little pots that are made out of peat moss, compressed peat moss, and they're plantable. So peas don't like to be disturbed. They don't like their roots disturbed. So if you plant them in a pot that you can actually plant right in the ground, you get a head start on the season. And then you can just go out in a couple of weeks after the peas have sprouted and sink those pots down in the ground. I also saw a really cool way to start peas early. And I saw it on a video on YouTube with a British gardener. And this is what they did for theirs. I thought it was so cool. They took a length of gutter, you know, like a gutter that you would use on your house.
Like downspouts and
gutters. Exactly. Yep. Right. So they took a length of gutter that was the same length as their garden row. And they put caps on the end, right? And they filled it with soil, like potting soil. And they planted their peas down the length of the gutter, just as if they were planting it in the garden. And then they had it sitting in their greenhouse. But you could also have it sitting like in under a fluorescent light fixture or grow light fixture inside. And they had them germinating that way. And when they were a couple of inches tall, they took the gutter out to the vegetable garden. They dug a little row the length of the gutter. They took one of the end caps off of the gutter and tilted it up, and they literally slid that that gutter full of soil and growing pea plants out into the length of the row, and then, you know, buried it back down in there with their hands. And just like that, they had a row of peas growing in the garden.
Like a little conveyor belt.
I thought, what a clever way to get a head start on peas, that you don't disturb the roots. You don't have to mess with individual pots of plants. And I thought, you know, you could really do that with onion sets. You could do that with your pea plants. You could do that with beans and get a head start, so that when the middle of, you know, May rolls around and the frost is done, instead of planting seeds out in the garden, You're just planting a gutter full of bean plants that are already growing. They're already a couple, you know, of days old or even a couple of weeks old. So it was, I thought, a really unique way to get a jump start on the season.
You know what's going to happen now? Late night, you'll be sitting at home and you'll see, hey, what do you do with your old gutters?
Right.
You know, I'm telling you.
It'll be an infomercial, right? Garden gutters,
it'll
right?
happen. So right. Before we take a break and come back, and I know you have a lot of things you want to talk about, pruning fruit trees and spraying dormant oil, and you want to talk about shade gardening stuff, the stuff that's going to, you know, really be out there early. The significance of St. Patrick's Day and the potato, and a lot of people don't realize it really saved that country because of some forward thinking and gardeners and the durability of potatoes. You know that whole story about the potato famine. Could you just indulge me a little bit and tell me about that story?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing, I actually read about this. Michael Pollan, the author Michael Pollan, has a book out called The Botany of Desire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, he examines four different crops, potatoes, tulips, apples, and marijuana are the four. He takes a really close look at sort of their evolution with human culture and how we bred them. And the potato chapter is extremely interesting because it does talk about how dependent the country of Ireland was on one variety of potato that had zero genetic variation. And that's why the potato famine was so problematic, because that particular variety was extremely susceptible to that pathogen. And had they been growing a bunch of different varieties, they would have been okay. But because they put all their eggs in one genetic potato basket, that was what caused the big problem. And so if you have a chance to get it from your local library, it's really a fascinating look at human dependence on these plants, and then also the plants' dependence on humans to spread them, to sort of work on their genetics. And the apple one is interesting, goes into Johnny Appleseed and what his real deal was and why he spread the apples. Well, it wasn't for crunchy, healthy eating. It was to make hard cider, right? Because you couldn't drink a lot of the water was contaminated. You couldn't drink the water. So
that's an excuse
even
I
kids,
use, by the way.
Right. Even kids would drink hard cider back then because they knew it was free of pathogens. So it's called The Botany of Desire. It's a great, interesting book, and today would be a good day to start it because it does have all that interesting information about the potato in it.
All right, listen, she's ready to go to work. She wants to talk to you. So 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. You can text us on the Red Automotive Line, the best deal in town. Congratulations to Carol of Wexford. Not that far to go, Carol, you enjoy that $25 gift certificate at Sorgles right there in that great community of Wexford. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. Your phone calls coming up next on KDK Radio.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, what do you say we begin by talking about pruning fruit trees? What do I need to know?
Yes, it is the season for pruning fruit trees. So if you can't get out today and plant your peas and onions on the St. Paddy's Day tradition, you might want to think about getting out there and pruning your fruit trees. If you grow apples, peaches, pears, plums, now's the time of year to do it. Even blueberry bushes, raspberry, brambles, this is the time of year to do your pruning. Make sure that you're using clean pruning equipment. This doesn't mean that you need to wash it in the sink, but it does mean that you should take a little bit of Lysol spray or a Clorox wipe, or even make a 10% bleach solution and dip the blades of your pruning tools into that disinfectant in between each tree. And that will prevent the spread of a lot of pathogens and diseases, keep the pruning cuts nice and clean. You don't want to seal those pruning cuts with anything. So, you know, way long ago, we used to paint like a pruning paint or tar over the cut. And that actually seals pathogens in and can lead to further infection. So you want to make sure that you just use clean pruning tools, do a nice clean cut, and then let that plant callus over on its own. You know, fruit tree pruning is about as much art as it is science. And you can, there's some great videos out there on YouTube. I would choose one that's done by somebody from a cooperative extension agent, a professional horticulturist or an orchardist, an arborist, that really will show you how to properly prune a fruit tree, because it it's not the same as pruning a, you know, maple tree. You do have a specific pruning technique that you want to follow with them, but it's really important for the health of the tree, for the production of the fruit, to keep the tree structure nice and open, which improves production and really helps you grow a healthy tree. And right now is the time to be doing it.
All right, let's talk to Brad in Clarion, or Clairton, I should say. No, Clarion, that's right. I was right the first time. Hey, Brad, how you doing? Welcome to KDK Radio.
That's where I'm at, buddy.
I know. A little slow on the draw today. Go ahead.
I wanted to thank Jessica for her guidance on my little miniature rose bush. Last week I called and said, you know, ask you how to prepare for it. Every day this week I set it out and on our table there where the sun was shining full on it. And it's got new growth on it. It's flourishing. And one day it was 78 degrees here, and I went to plant it. I really tempted, and I thought, no, I'm not going to. But I did set it outside that day, and mm-hmm. had the sun shine on it. And it's flourishing real good, and I wanted to thank you, Jessica.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that it's doing so well for you. You know, we get really excited when we get a plant like that, and sometimes this time of year, we want to just get out in the garden and we want to dig in the soil and we want to plant something, but it's definitely too early for something that was forced in a greenhouse because we get a frost.
I didn't know either that this was a multicolored rose bush.
Oh, that's even better. That's really cool. So that means it could possibly be grafted. And so you definitely want to keep it inside until we get really nice warm weather because those graft unions can be really sensitive to cold temperatures.
All right, explain to me spraying dormant oils.
Yeah, so dormant oils go right along with the fruit trees. So a dormant oil is a spray that you use during the dormant season, which is now, right, before the buds develop on those trees. And it's sprayed and applied to the trees. And it's done this time of year. And what it does is it's based on a heavy grade oil. Dormant oils are a heavy grade oil. And they coat and suffocate any insect or insect eggs that are overwintering on your deciduous trees. So people use them. I use them on my fruit trees every year. People will use them on their deciduous trees as well, like oaks and maples, if they have had major pest problems in the past, meaning scale or something like that. You know, that's a really good way to get an early season jump on managing tree pests. Now, if you have not had pests on your trees, your deciduous trees in the past, you don't have to use a dormant oil. But I would say they're most valuable in the orchard. And even if you just have one or two fruit trees, using a dormant oil after you prune is a good way to get early season control.
All right. Shade gardening, stuff that is coming around.
Yeah. So it's funny because I was out the other day walking around my garden on the beautiful day we had that was, as Brad said, like in the mid-70s, which was just a little ridiculous, but also inspiring.
Did that shock you when you came outside?
It did. Well, I actually had the office window open. So I have my desk like right in front of my window upstairs, and I had the window open and the breeze, because it was so breezy that day and the breeze was coming in. I thought, this was just so lovely. So I went out in the backyard, did a little walk around. You know, I always do my little recognizance early in the season just to see what's sprouting up and how things are doing. And I have a little shade garden that's underneath a tulip poplar on the side of our backyard. And those are the plants that really shine in the spring. Those spring ephemerals that bloom for a really short period of time. And the reason they do is because as soon as the leaves come out on the trees and the canopy gets really dense, they're shaded. So they try to get their blooms in early in the season when they can really attract the pollinators before the leaves come out on the deciduous trees. And these are the plants that a lot of times we'll see in a woodland setting. And they do bloom really early in the spring. And so a lot of mine are starting to push up through the ground, which is always exciting to see. It's just another message that spring is definitely coming and definitely on its way. Things like the bluebells. The bluebells have just starting to peek up out of the soil. And they're one of my favorite native woodland plants, Mertensia. And they're really sort of, they're brief. They're super brief because they come up and their buds are pink, but then they open to a bright blue flower. So they've kind of got the pink and blue on them at the same time. Then after they bloom, they shift into a summer dormancy. So their leaves will start to die back. And you think, oh my gosh, I killed this plant. It's dead. The foliage is all gone. And then you don't see them again until the next spring. And it's one of those things that always is a surprise in the garden. It's always a treat. I mean, you know they're there, but sometimes you forget that they're there. And then the next thing you know, they're up and blooming in the spring. So it won't be long till they're doing their stuff. Same thing with plants like pulmonaria, epimediums, bleeding hearts. These are all great shade plants that put on a terrific performance first thing in the spring. And they're the ones I most look forward to this time of year.
From that award-winning book that you're famous for, Good Bug, Bad Bug, I realize, being that I'm 62, I've had an amazing life, because some of these bugs are around for like a millisecond. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it's like, hey, I'm here. What do you mean it's over? It was
right.
That quick. What about these plants? I mean, did like generations or relatives of these plants come back every year, or is it like one and done? Is there any like lineage or like, you know, genetics?
Well, most of these plants are perennials, so they
right.
come back themselves year after
yeah.
year. But some of them do self-sow, so they reseed. So like the Virginia bluebells, which I was talking about, the Mertensia, which is the one that comes up, blooms, and then it shifts into a summer dormancy. That actually self-seeds quite regularly, and it does it in the most beautiful way, and that's how they spread sort of in their native colony. And so you do get sometimes, you know, cross-pollination because of the bees, and so you get some genetic variation in there as well. But for the most part, these plants are just sort of the straight species of their plant, and so the genetic variation occurs is really natural, versus like at a greenhouse where it might be a forced cross, right, where they might intentionally cross-pollinate two different plants. So sometimes in a wild population like that, you get the most interesting plants that crop up because you have a natural genetic variation in there, which is kind of neat.
15 seconds are left. Every year, are there new plants being created?
Well, they're not really being created, but they might be being discovered.
Okay.
So there's folks, and I've attended a lecture by a lot of these people that travel around the world, and they look for plants that might be good for the nursery trade, and maybe they'll collect some cuttings or a couple of seeds, and then they'll bring them and introduce them into the nursery trade. So it's not like, I don't think there's much new species creation going on in the wild, but I do think there's collecting taking place.
All right, call us now. Some lines available. She'd love to hear from you. 866-391-1020. The Organic Gardener's Jessica Walliser continues next.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, Doug's gone fishing. He's off today. He'll be back next week. Of course, he and Jessica both from the Tribune Review. So what are you doing there? I know you got all this other stuff going on, but what are you doing there?
Well, it's writing about seed starting, of course, because
okay.
it's seed starting season. We're almost at time to start our warm season crops like tomatoes and eggplants and peppers. A couple more weeks, hold off to do those, usually around the first week of April. But I like to write about them a few weeks in advance so that you can get yourself prepared.
All right, Penn State Master Gardeners. My son actually is a sophomore at Penn State Beaver, going to be there for 4 years and doing rather well. And I know you're an alum of Penn State. What do you think Penn State really has done for what you do? I mean, they're like that's the place, right?
Yeah, major agricultural school, certainly still continues to be. I think that they've also expanded into some really incredible majors under the ag umbrella, which is always amazing to see. And then, of course, the Master Gardener program, which is really training professional volunteers, essentially, right? So they're teaching them how to go out and give good knowledge and about gardening and volunteer within their communities to spread the good word about how to grow great plants.
It's good stuff. Okay, 10th caller right now. Don't forget, Janoski's, the big St. Patrick's Day buffet out there at the Country Restaurant, beginning at 1 today. If you're the 10th caller, you're going to win a wonderful gift certificate from them worth $25. And boy, a lot of stuff you can get this time of year at Janoski's with that. Number is 412-922-1020. Okay, Bob and West Mifflin up next for Jessica Walliser on the Organic Gardeners on KDK Radio. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Oh, my goodness, I can't call in for the contest. Okay.
Well, hang up. Call right now.
No, I just want to say, I'm not going to do that. I just want to say that I have this little compost thing in my kitchen, and I do eggs, and I put the shells in there, and when I have different, you know, tomatoes or anything, and I clean them up and I have to fix it. I throw the leftovers into this compost, and I throw it, then I take it down to my garden and I just mix it in. And this year, well, last year, I had the most wonderful experience. I ended up with small tomatoes, large tomatoes. I ended up with cantaloupe. I ended up with, and of course, I don't know if these are perennials, but I had oregano, mint, and also parsley just kept coming up, you know. And, you know, if you're going out and you're buying $5, $6 plants, I don't know. I like my system a little bit better.
So you could call your system no-waste kitchen gardening, right? So you're okay. Taking what would normally be a scrap that you would throw into your compost pile or into the garbage, and it's sprouting in your garden. I mean, there's pros and cons of that. It's lovely that you're getting to, you know, those plants are sprouting and rooting and things like that. But, you know, there's also a downside to that in that, if those seeds were grown and sprouting from a hybrid tomato, the ones that result, the ones that grow from those seeds you bury with the compost in your garden, you know, they might not always be the best tasting tomato. So there's some downsides to it, but there's certainly some upsides as well.
Well, you know, it's working for me. Of course, I still buy the onion sets and I do some of the other things. But, you know, it's working out for me, and I try to do the best I can. But like I said, I mean, for those people who don't have the extra money to go out and buy those special hybrid plants, they just may want to use what kitchen scraps.
Yeah, absolutely. And you certainly can save seeds from lots of different vegetables that you harvest. But again, do be aware that the offspring, the plant that grows from those seeds, might not be the same variety and it might not look quite the same. But you know what? If you're willing to take the chance, I think it is a great way to save a little bit of money.
All right, let's go to Erica up next for Jessica Walliser. Hey, Erica.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Jessica, for taking my call.
Sure. Good morning, Erica.
Okay. I just have to give a shout-out about this. As a product that you had mentioned a while back, it was called the Weed Assassin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had to get a gift from my son-in-law. He's a gardener. He lives in Charlotte, and his birthday was in the end of February. So I'm thinking, what am I going to get? I bet he'd like to have this. So I go online, and I look up at the Weed Assassin. I see what the price is. It's not too bad. I go to Amazon. The price is the same. I went back to the company, and I ordered the Weed Assassin, and I ordered him the Weed Assassin rake. And mm-hmm. They have another product that's a really cool push broom, too. But anyway, those two items. And I said to the guy, I said, look, can you write happy birthday on this box for him? And can you get it there on his birthday, which is like 4 days from now? Because I had no idea where this company's at. And he said he'd do his best. And he said, I don't think I could write anything on the box, though. But sure enough, the product arrived on my son-in-law's birthday in Charlotte with happy birthday handwritten on the boxes.
Oh, isn't that nice?
And he loves the product.
Oh, good, good.
So I just wanted to give a shout-out. I do listen to KDK, and I listen to their different products that they have. And this is a one-hit wonder for sure.
Well, thank you very much. That's very good to know, Erica. And for people who aren't familiar with the tool that she's talking about, I know Doug really likes this tool as well. It's a short-handled spade that is, the blade on the spade is actually shaped, I think the best way to describe it would be wedge-shaped. It's sort of like a long triangle, and then on the sides of the triangle, it's serrated. So you can really get in there, and they call it the Weed Assassin or Root Assassin, because you can really get in there and get some deep-rooted weeds out really, really easily with this particular shovel. It's a really cool tool, so I'm glad that Erica likes it.
Hey, congratulations to Cindy of Irvine, winner of that gift certificate to Janoski's. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back. Many more calls still to come with Jessica. Doug off vacationing today, doing a little fishing. Back with us next week.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
And now it's time for our Mrs. Know-It-All. She's Denise Schreiber, a former greenhouse grower, and our garden goddess. Good morning, Denise. How are you?
Good morning. It's good to be back in town, actually.
You have had quite the travels, haven't you?
Yeah. I got to see some great things. Of course, my favorite is the Philadelphia Flower Show. Mm-hmm. This year, it was Flower Power celebrating the 60s. So there were lots of flowers. It was good to smell flowers. Lots of, you know, hyacinths and alstroemeria. They had all kind of flowers there. It was just fabulous. And if no one's ever gone, they really should at least once. You know, but now I came home and I actually started some of my seeds already. I'm trying to think, 10 different kinds of tomatoes. I've got 6 different kinds of, no, eight different kinds of peppers. So I'm growing sweet peppers, I'm growing hot peppers. But it's good to get them started. Now, I grow them in what we call plug trays. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bigger, gives the roots, and you don't have to transplant until much later. This way they're ready to go. And then hopefully we will have some warm weather by Mother's Day, and we can actually plant out. I did plant some onion sets, and I put out some poppy and larkspur seed already, so because they like the cool weather to germinate.
They sure do. And you know what? I wish I would have known before you sowed larkspur seeds that if you ever want larkspur, you just let me know, Denise, because boy, do I have a lot of it. I can dig some up for you. So it's a prolific plant.
All right,
thank you, as always, Denise.
Here's Bill in Paris, Pennsylvania for Jessica Walliser. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Jessica, if you're lucky enough to get some yellow Oxford tomatoes, do you think that you might be able to save those seeds? You partially answered that a little bit ago. Because here's my thinking, I don't know if you're going to be able to buy those on the market. I always buy new seeds for most all tomatoes that I grow. But what do you think?
Yeah, so I believe that most of the yellow oxheart varieties are actually open pollinated varieties, which means they're not a hybrid, and you can save seeds from them very easily from year to year, and you will get the genetics will be true, so you'll get the same tomato the following year. It's only with hybrids that we really have to worry about that crossing, but I believe that the yellow oxhearts are actually open pollinated, so you can save them quite easily.
Do you think that yellow oxheart is the same as the orange oxheart?
Probably not. I think that there's, a bunch of different stable varieties that are in that oxheart family, but uh-huh. I do believe that most of them are open pollinated. So if you save the seeds from the yellow one, it's going to be different than the seeds from the orange one. Tomato blossoms are self-fertile, so they don't take pollen from another flower. They actually pollinate themselves. So, that's what makes them so genetically stable.
Well, that's great, because if that is a tomato I like, then I will have them then. So I thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. That's like one of the great things about growing those open pollinated heirloom varieties is that you can save the seeds from year to year.
All right, two quick write-out amount of text messages, then we'll talk to Carolyn in Penn Township. Too late to prune peach trees?
Nope. Perfect time to prune fruit trees.
All right, says, good morning, Rob. Jessica, sorry for the late question. Just got up. Good, you slept in. That's a good thing. How would you kill hairy bittercress? And I know I can pull it out. What can I spray on it? So what do you think?
I would definitely say pull it out. And here's the reason. Because with bittercress, if you use an herbicide, and obviously I would only ever recommend an organic herbicide, but when you use an herbicide, it actually stimulates that plant to flower and set seed really, really quickly before it dies. And bittercress is one of those seeds that can literally flower and set seed in a day. So hand pulling is the best thing for that bittercress to really make sure that you get it out there effectively.
She just had a knee replacement though, so go slow.
Oh, she had a knee replacement. Okay, well then, you could try to use an organic herbicide, like there's one called Nature's Avenger. There's another one called Burnout. These are based on clove oil and acetic acid. And they're very effective. They are labeled for use on organic productions. And you could also get one of those propane flame weeders, and which is like you hook it up to propane tank and you literally torch the weeds, and it works great.
All right, here's Carolyn in Penn Township. Last call of the day on the Organic Gardeners. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Hi. I don't have a seed question, but I have a real problem. I have a flower bed that I planted gladiolas in a couple years ago, had no idea how aggressive they are. I can't get them out. We've tried weed killer. I don't know what to do to remove them from this flower bed.
I'm not sure you really mean gladiolas. Do you really mean gladiolas?
Oh, wait. Yeah, the things with the bulbs that get real tall?
Yeah. Aggressive?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, you must have some powerful gladiolas, because normally...
Oh, my gosh, they're multiplying like rabbits.
So are they coming up as just the leaf without the flower?
No. I mean, right now I have little green shoots.
Yeah.
But no, they come up with the flowers.
Wow. You have a superhero gladiolus, because normally we'll get like, you know, one flower stalk bloom, and then sometimes the bulbs will produce little offsets or bulblets that produce off the side. And for a couple of years, they'll just produce green and they won't actually produce a flower. So, you know, I think that that says a lot about the type of soil that you have there. But really, with a bulb plant like that, the only way to get rid of it is to actually physically dig out the bulbs. So you have to get down there, sift through the soil, pull out all of the bulbs as much as you can, and get rid of them. Because even, you know, I don't want you to use an herbicide because we're the organic right. gardeners after all. But if right. you're using that, that's not going to be absorbed all the way down into the bulbs enough that it's going to be able to actually kill that the whole bulb. So you're going to have to dig them out.
Now, can I dig just the whole bed out? Like just pull sure. up all the dirt and repot it?
Sure, you could do that. It? Well, what I would do, you know, if there's nothing else growing in the bed, I would go ahead and just dig it all out and dig all the way down to the bulbs, right? And then, yeah. you know, put the soil without the bulbs in one wheelbarrow and then put the bulbs in another wheelbarrow and get rid of the bulbs. And then you can actually just dump the wheelbarrow back into the, you know, of soil back into the garden.
Thank you for the call. Listen, 20 seconds, all yours, then say goodbye.
Oh, my goodness, 20 seconds. All right, beautiful weather. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. Get started in the garden. If you have a vegetable garden and you don't really want to plant your peas yet, go ahead and plant some radish. Get started with that. Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to teach you how to create a better place to garden and a safer place to live.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.